Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I'm here.
Hooray.
If you're listening to the audio podcast, we're not late at all.
Not even a little.
Well, that's not true, because I'm actually going to post the show like a day late, so I guess we're late on all accounts.
Everything.
I know, Ryan, you're such an ass.
Yeah, Ryan's bringing me down, guys. Bringing me down.
Bringing you down. Or is it the Steam sales that are bringing you down? Because there's nothing good. Nothing good.
Okay, I thought that maybe it was just me. I looked yesterday. I looked yesterday and I didn't see anything that I really wanted. And I thought, you know, it's day one.
Yeah.
In general, in Steam sales, day one is usually, you know, they come in with a bang, they end with a bang, and then everything in between is kind of like, yeah. And then so I thought, well, there's nothing today, or at least nothing that I don't own. Hmm. And then I was just like, huh, okay. And then today, I went in and I was just like, well, there's some that maybe, like, I looked at Bound by Flame and I was kind of like, eh.
Don't buy it. Don't do it.
Yeah. So it's then terrible. I was just like, eh. And I was like, I've never been eh in a Steam sale before. But you know what they did?
What'd they do?
They put me on a team.
What team are you on?
My team is in fourth place. I'm blue.
Aw. See, Lou, the busy zombie lord, emails me and he says, hey, if you can get on a team, get on Team Green, because that's the team I'm on. And I'm like, sweet. It automatically assigns you a team. Mm-hmm. And I love the way Steam, like, changes things up every time there's a sale. It's not just, here's a bunch of shit that's, like, 90% off. It's also, like, here's a couple mini games to make you buy more games. And so I'm on Team Green, and Green was in the lead. And Red just pulled out of nowhere. Or was it Red, or was it? It was Purple. Purple pulled out of nowhere. And I guess if your team wins, 30 random people get 3 games off their wish list.
I know, I saw that. And I was just like, what is this? Because yesterday I was checking things on the app. And then today, so the parts of my doghouse are on the way, but they still haven't arrived. So I'm still on my old system, which is a good, like, 8 years old now, probably. So it's very slow. It's very laggy. So I've been doing almost everything on my phone. And so I'm looking on my phone. And today I was just like opened up Steam. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to uninstall a whole lot of games because I need to try to speed up the system. Mm-hmm. So I'm going in and the Steam sale pops up. And then it's like, Team Purple wins 3 games off their wish list or something. And I was like, Team, what team am I on? How do I win the things? Because, you know, competitive Jocelyn can't just, you know, let it go.
You can't just be on Team Red and just be happy that you're on a good color. Other than green,
team
it's
blue.
Team
Freaking
Blue.
Awesome.
Team
Blue is in
rad.
Second last.
Oh, well, then we can commiserate.
The only way to, you know, like, up your team is to, what, like, craft badges or something, and you have to do that by buying games, and I was just like, ooh, tricky Steam. I wasn't going to buy games this time. I haven't for the last 2 days, and now you want me to buy games to win. I do love winning.
They did that last year, and the year before, for that matter, where they would always have like the more games you buy, the more cards you got. And I remember one year where I was legitimately making decisions about, like, not making sole decisions on, I'm going to buy this $100 game so I get 10 cards. It was more like, yeah, I could probably go for like a 4-pack of this just to get like 4 extra cards, you know. And I was pushing myself over the edge using that mechanic. And this year I swore that would not happen. And it hasn't yet. I haven't bought a single thing. Now day 2 is a little more enticing than day 1, but the main sales haven't really been that crazy yet. It's really just been a repeat of the winter sale.
Yeah, and even I found the flash sale stuff was kind of meh. So,
yeah. If you look at, okay, this is the other thing too. Like if you open up your wish list, and I mean, this has got to kind of telling us to what we played this week that we're talking about the Steam sale for this long. But if you open up your wish list, everything's on sale. Like there's
Pretty
a bunch.
Much,
of-
I think there was one on my wish list. Whatever's at the very top of my wish list was not on sale. I can't even remember off the top of my head what game it is, but it's something that's come out recently.
Yeah, so when you look at that list and you see all that stuff on sale, that's just through the summer sale. But mm-hmm. I guarantee it that at least like the indies more so on a flash, but like the high profile games like Transistor and I'm sure Octodad and stuff like that are going to be on that front page and you're going to see them on sale. Now, we got 8 more days of this, And I highly doubt that that the entire Steam sale will be for naught for us. I'm sure next week we'll be singing a very different tune.
Although, you know, I mean, last year I probably spent, I can't remember specifically summer sale versus winter sale, but I do remember that generally I spend anywhere between $50 and $100 on games on Steam sales, because that's pretty much the only time I buy them, unless there's like a new release that I absolutely have to have. But 9 times out of 10 when I buy games on Steam, it's Steam sales only. So yeah. One other really interesting game that we are totally into is doing half-off skins to coincide with the Steam sale.
What?
They actually put out a really, 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 really funny video. It's Smite is giving half-off Steams. Half-off Steams.
I was just like, wait, skins. You've been watching way too much Hannibal or something, because we are not giving half-off our skins. That would be that'd be a different show, and probably Smite. A little legal.
Smite.
Okay, good. So, I didn't hear you say Smite.
I think what I'll probably do is pick up a couple of skins that I've been eyeing, because, I mean, they're half as much. I'm not expecting to spend a ton of money on the Steam sale, so I'd be spending money this time of year anyway, so it's justified and stuff, right?
Yeah. So Smite is having half-off skins. You know what? It's funny. There's been a couple of heroes that I've actually wanted to get skins for. One hero I was actually playing just because of how cool this one skin looked. It was the Nemesis hero and the ninja or assassin skin.
Yeah, the one that looks like a samurai type thing with the big long swords.
Yeah, looks super rad. So like that would put it at 200 gems for a skin.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good deal.
That's pretty good.
That's actually interesting. Like another free to play title we played last night for game night. Joel, Josh, and I were playing Hawken. And it's a free-to-play game on Steam and has some bundles that are on sale. And I'm sure it'll make an appearance in one of the Flash or front page sales. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't played Hawken. I watched a couple minutes of you guys playing last night, and it looks okay. It reminds me a whole lot of the Transformers game that Joel played. Shoot, what was it called? Something War for Cybertron, I think. Not the ones based on the movies, like the actual...
The good ones.
Yeah, the good ones. So that's kind of what it reminded me of, the UI and everything else. I was like,
we had a lot of fun with that game. And I think you'd dig it. It's free to play, so I mean, essentially you could just try it and be like, I hate it, Ryan. I want my money back. Well, here you go.
Here's all your free money back.
No. But I can't give you back time, unfortunately. No, it's fun. We kind of started off with the horde mode sort of thing, where it was like a team of four against AI waves. And that's a really fun to kind of get into it. And then you have... We did a bit of team deathmatch. Someone in the chat room, actually, I think his name was Megalomop. That's not right. I don't know. Anyways.
Mega something?
It's not Megalomop. I'm sorry if you're listening. But he was really cool. He joined in and he was kind of like talking about how everything works and stuff. And then I decided that we do a 6v6, which is a pre-made team versus a pre-made team. And that was a bad idea because even when we were going in, he said to me that the 6v6 pre-mades are usually like pro teams. That's how they face each other. We faced a pro team.
How'd that go?
It was awful. But it was a cool mode. It was like it was 6v6, and you had your battleship had a certain amount of health, and then in the middle was like this contested area. And what you had to do was you had to run around the map collecting energy from these locations. So not only are you fighting off the enemy, you're also trying to collect energy, and then energy goes to charge your battleship. That, so you have to get the energy, take it back to your base, charge the battleship, and then that starts another phase. Once you have all your energy, the battleship launches and starts moving towards the enemy base, all the while attacking. And that's when the dynamic changes, and you have to run to the center and control the centerpiece, which is a contested area of AA guns. And okay. Basically what would happen is like the other team would collect the energy right away, and then like set up shop in that contested area, and they totally mopped the floor with us. They should have been Megalomop, and they were just cleaning up. But it was a lot of fun, and it's a mode I've never played like that in any other type of online game, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool.
But man, it's no Smite. It doesn't have that you know, grab you and make you want to play one more game. But it's a lot of fun. We enjoyed the I enjoyed the Horde mode the most. That's my most favorite mode.
And that's very similar to how Mass Effect does it, right? There's waves, and if you all die, then that's the end, and it's just kind of like wave after wave of AI enemies, right?
Yeah, and it feels less like competitive because you're not playing against, you know, computers. You're, you know, like, oh, I'm like, I got your back, Joel. Or I was calling him, like, Captain Duggan. I'm coming, Captain Duggan. I'm, like, shooting. And he's, like, turning into a tank. He's, like, rip, rip, rip. And then I'm, like, shooting over top of him and, like, flying. And you know, and then I'd get hit with a mine and I'd go down. And then like, Joel's robot would hold my robot in his arms and scream, no.
Really?
No. But that would have been cool, right?
That would have been really cool. You had me going there.
But you know, it's a lot of fun. You can revive your characters, and it really helps to be on Skype to get that communication firing.
Right.
And you know, we had a lot of fun. Maybe it's going to be tough to tear you away from Smite, so I probably shouldn't say maybe next time we try Hawken, because Smite is always going to be like, come play with me.
That's true. I feel like I want to play all the time, and every time I log in, there's nobody online, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go in like with groups. I just don't. I feel like I'm just going to completely and utterly fail. So I like to have at least one other person that I know in with me. Mm-hmm. It just feels so much more comfortable, and I know I need to get out of my comfort zone and all the rest of it. But I mean, like, I am also very aware of my, like, level, I guess, my skill level.
Mm.
And so the thought of playing all by myself with four random people makes me go like, Although I'm trying to remember, I feel like I did actually do that once in this last week where I went in totally by myself. Now I can't remember.
Because I didn't play at all.
I think I did once in Assault because I was sick and tired of trying to wait for people.
This is just like one of those times where you're like, you know, you remember that movie we saw? And it's like, we never saw that movie. And then you're like caught exactly. in like a cheating
loop.
Were
you there?
It's like, you were there. I remember. You laughed and we had a good time. It's like, no, I wasn't there. Thanks a lot.
It's like full on the same. Like, I mean, people talked about it back. I remember hearing it for the first time a couple of years ago with ladder anxiety in StarCraft II. And then people write into Angry Chicken all the time talking about their ladder anxiety with Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same feeling. It's like nothing bad is really going to happen. I know I have like a rating in the background that you can't actually see of how good I am at the game. And that's how it matches you with opponents and all the rest of it. But I mean, like, I don't really care what that is. The lower the opponents they match me with, the better. So I don't really care about my whole rating, ranking, whatever, which is usually what causes anxiety in those other games where you can actually really see where it is that you fall on the ladder. But at the same time, it's just like, I know that my team is depending on me and that there are real people on the other side. And I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I usually don't care about ladder type stuff unless there's like this giant number beside my name that says like, here's the level this person
Brian
is.
Brian sucks.
You should expect him to be good. Like, Titanfall has this issue where it's very clear as to what level you are, and it's also very clear like if you've prestiged, you know, if you're like a gen, they call it generations, if you're like a gen 5 level 40, they expect you to be the best damn player, not necessarily someone who's just had a lot of fun and grinded to gen 40, which is still possible.
It's the same with those, whatchamacallit, level paragon levels in Diablo. Mm-hmm. When somebody jumps in your game and they have like 867 paragon levels, you're like, well, F.
Yeah, that just means they've played a shit ton. I mean, to me, I think StarCraft. Hey, wouldn't that be a great combination? StarCraft and Lara Croft. Yeah. Anyway, StarCraft. I like the way they do it where, like, if you're not good enough, you're not even going to touch somebody in the Gold League or the Diamond or
Well, and that's very similar to StarCraft. Mm-hmm. Wait, Lara Croft. Wait, what are you talking about?
StarCraft.
You totally threw me off of what game you were talking about. I was about to say that StarCraft was very similar to StarCraft.
StarCraft's very similar to StarCraft. But hey, save yourself. It could be true. Like, Heart of the Swarm is very similar to Wings of Liberty.
Man, oh man, it's been a long week.
Hasn't it?
A really, really bad gaming week for me, actually. I had like 3 different times this past weekend where I was supposed to play certain games with friends. I was supposed to raid in WoW, and then I was supposed to jump on the Smite stream with Octane on Sunday night. And I didn't, like, it was time zone issues. It was in-game time versus server time. Like, there were just all these kind of timing issues that made it so, like, I kept just missing people. Mm-hmm. And, like, I actually didn't play anything because I was sitting there the whole time in both WoW and Smite, like, waiting for people. And I was just, like, so super psyched. Like, I probably spent 6 hours getting all, because obviously with the doghouse out of commission, I had to get all my add-ons set up and my character set up and all the rest of it in on my old computer because I didn't have the priest at that time. So I must have spent like 6 hours like setting everything up and, you know, doing what I needed to do. And I met a random person who was camping for that time lost protodrake, because that's my login logout spot, because I figure I'm never going to spend like 8,000 hours sitting here waiting for this stupid dragon to spawn. So this is just going to be my login logout spot. And then if I randomly happen to be stupid lucky and I log in right when he's there, then huzzah! Yay, yeah. Mount. Anyway, so I was sitting there like configuring all my add-ons and stuff. And there was this other guy who like flew down and was like, hey. I'm like, hi. He's like, I've been here for 8 hours. I was like, dude, it spawns. It's all yours.
Is he just coming over here and he's like twirling one of those butterfly knives? It's like,
exactly.
I don't imagine it being like, hey, I've been here for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's like freaking Michelangelo, but crazy. And not with nunchucks. I could not imagine doing that for 8 hours. That sounds awful.
I spent forever getting my priest ready, and then I literally sat at the entrance to Firelands because BattleNet randomly went down. And so I couldn't see when anyone was coming online. I couldn't get any messages from anyone or anything else. So I was literally sitting at the entrance to Firelands for an hour. And then I was like, oh, forget it. Obviously, like, it got canceled. It's Father's Day weekend. Something must have come up. Whatever. So then I left and then I went to bed. And I woke up the next morning and there's a text message from Ben saying, hey, are you still coming? And it was literally 10 minutes after I logged off. I was like, damn it, time zones.
Oh, that's no fun. I haven't really played a lot of games this week either. Definitely didn't camp for a dragon. That would have been fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
Camping for dragons.
Yeah.
But did you get any other like gaming in, or was that your only experience? You're kind of like, screw this week, I'll try next week.
Exactly. I was literally just sitting, waiting all weekend for gaming to happen, and people kept saying, oh yeah, I'll be right there, and then it just, for whatever reason, our signals got crossed and time zones or math are hard, and it's just, yeah, so I didn't actually really play anything. I did, however, just about like 2 hours ago get into the Heroes Alpha, so I'm super stoked for that. That was kind of the big news on Twitter this week, is they were finally letting people in who don't have US accounts.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that I was a little bit kind of, I don't want to say ticked off about. You know what? I was ticked off, Ryan. I was ticked off.
You're so pissed.
I know. So Blizzard didn't really make it well known that it was only U.S. accounts that were getting into Heroes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I looked everywhere for the longest time. I mean, and again, not bragging, but, I mean, I am on a friends and family list of a Blizzard employee, and he looked into it, and he was just like, I have no idea. Like, you're on the list. Like, your account is there for Alpha Access. I don't know why. And this was literally, like, 10 weeks ago. So they weren't even telling, like, internal employees that it was U.S.-only accounts. So I was just kind of, like, sitting there, and literally every single day going, today, 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 for, like, 6 weeks before I finally just gave up and was like, I have the worst luck of anyone ever, so I'm totally just going to get in when it goes to open beta or whatever. And I was fine with that. And then they do this big announcement yesterday, we're opening it up to non-US accounts. And I was like, ugh.
I think Blizzard just, with the Heroes of the Storm Alpha, they just had this, they had one of those like bouncers that you see at like that dingy club that sits there, but it's like super, it's fancy enough to have a bouncer, and he has this list. He's like, yo, what's your name? You're on the list. And he flips through his pages.
He's like, yeah, I don't have a Jocelyn Moffat here. Let me see your ID. He's like, oh, you're Canadian. Well, why don't you go back to the Tim Hortons, eh?
Back of the line.
Oh, but, American, you're on the list. Come on in.
I am so grateful and happy, and I'm excited to be in the alpha, and I have no sense of entitlement whatsoever. Like I said, I was totally ready to just go in open beta when they launched the game or whatever they did. Like, that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is a little bit of communication would have been helpful to say, oh, it's only open to the US for now. We'll open it up to more people, you know, as time goes on, as we need to test more features and stress test our servers and whatever, because it is still alpha. And I mean, the fact that I am in an alpha for a company that I love that makes games that are like, it just, you know, it's very exciting for me. And I got my Warlords alpha last week, which is also very exciting.
Oh, wow.
But I can't play Warlords because it won't run very well on my old system. So I have to wait and run it on the doghouse when I put it back together.
That's no fun. Well, so the Warlords alpha, does that kind of state that we're looking at like a fall release? Is that probably something that'll happen? Or I can't remember.
Was it the Panda Beta a little on or before December 21st?
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I don't know. Okay. Well, I'm trying to remember. I think the Panda Beta was like late August. And they kind of, July. They let everybody into that thing.
Yeah, it's very, very alpha right now. They're testing starting zones. So first they did the Horde starting zone, and now they're doing the Alliance starting zone. I'm not sure if the Horde one's still available or not, but Shadow Moon Valley is actually the Alliance starting zone, and it looks freaking awesome. I haven't logged in. I've just seen screenshots, but yeah. Man, that's going to be so good. I want it to come out now.
You told me that I'm playing it, evidently. We were playing.
You are. You must.
Game night is like, as long as it's not. I can't remember what happened with the Panda one. Like, I bought it and we never played, did we?
It's because I didn't have a level 90 at that point. But you get a free level 90 because if you buy the expansion, you get a free boost to 90. So you have to figure out what character you want to boost. Don't boost your like 87 character because no, that's dumb.
I will probably if I'm buying. Two things need to happen. If I'm buying this, I'm getting the digital version because there's no way in hell I'm buying another physical copy of a WoW game. I bought my collector's edition of Panda. I have one of them at least. Panda evidently being the coolest one because, like, pandas.
I had Cataclysm in my hands and I was like, you already own this game. This is stupid. But then I had this other, like, the little devil on my shoulder going, but you don't own a pet. And then the little angel was like, but you have the freaking game. And then the devil was like, but the pet.
And then the angel's like, it's a pet. You have so many.
It was only like $20. And I was like, there's a soundtrack in the art book.
It was only $20?
Yeah, it was Boxing Day this past year.
Well, for $20, you should have picked it up.
I know.
You should have been like, I can't decide between the angel and the devil. Let's call Ryan. And then he can do voices for both of them and be like, you should. And then
from now on, that's what I'm going to do. I'm like, Ryan, I have a gaming dilemma. Should I buy? And the answer is just going to come out of the phone. Yes.
Well, okay, maybe not right away. Like, that happens.
You're a bad influence.
I'm an awful person.
You made me buy Mario Golf.
Hey, that's a good game. You played one round.
And then I lost. The game is stupid.
You need to give it another shot. We need to do another Gamers in Cup and then tweet it out more than once.
So then you can just prove how bad I am? The fact that I couldn't even find the standings in the Gamers in Cup?
You have to try, I guess. Practice, maybe.
Have you been doing anything cool in the world of alphas?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even realize that it's been an alpha kind of week. I was in the Destiny alpha. It feels like forever ago that E3 was here. It was forever ago because Sony had announced at their press conference that Destiny would be getting an alpha on the Thursday. And I got around to playing it on the Saturday night around midnight. I booted it up, started playing. There's been some interesting sort of phenomenons come out of the Destiny beta. We haven't seen a lot of like just unprepared gameplay. There's been a lot of trailers come out, but that's always been like super combed over, super prepared by Bungie. So with the alpha, gamers get a chance to get in there and sort of like capture moments that necessarily wouldn't represent the game. But there's a controversy going on with one of my favorite actors right now, thanks to Game of Thrones, is Peter Dinklage, who is a voice in the game. And if you think I love video game soundtracks, I know people who will say, well, Ryan really loves voice actors in video games, and he goes nuts for those people. But so Peter Dinklage is your little robot friend.
And oh, very cool.
I didn't realize it right away because the voiceover, it was so, like, un-Peter Dinklage-y, you know? It was, like, very flat. I know he's a robot. People say, well, he's a robot, but it just sounds very flat, and it sounds very phoned in. You know, when you see... when you see Peter Dinklage...
That's a really harsh comment coming from you.
I don't know if it's final or they're going to add, like, a modulation to it, but Bungie certainly hasn't... I don't think they've commented on it, but if you look, go to YouTube...
Well, it is still... It's alpha, right?
Yeah, and they're not going to re-record all his lines, but certainly
they
if they were to...
They might re-record some. They might be placeholders.
It was all kind of bad. It was...
So, how bad is bad? Like...
Like, okay, there's this... What are we talking? There's this line where... And it's famous now on the internet. And you walk into a room, and one of the enemies pops up, which is a wizard. All the enemies are sort of named out. All the enemies and classes are sort of named and inspired by like Dungeons and Dragons, even though it's set in a futuristic Star Wars world. Okay. So you go into a room, and this monster pops up, and Peter Dinklage will be like, "It's like, oh, there are fallen ahead. That wizard came from the moon," and I'm like, Peter, what are you doing? Like, there's a good skit out there where Peter, they're like pretending to be Peter Dinklage, and it's like, that wizard came from the moon, and then Bungie and it's like, okay, yeah, that's good. Let's move on to the next line. It's like, are you sure I could probably give it another shot? No, that just go on to the next one.
We don't want to pay you more than 2 hours to do all this voiceover.
Maybe that's what it is. Since Game of Thrones, his paycheck
He's
has
popular
to be
and
astronomical.
Yeah.
But definitely after the show, go look up Destiny. That wizard came from the moon, and you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. It's all like that. But that doesn't mean the game wasn't hella fun. It's essentially Borderlands. Let me finish. Borderlands MMO, in the sense that you have a gun, you're shooting things, you have Mass Effect-type powers. So my character was more of a Borderlands type in the sense that all of his powers that I unlocked were gun-based. Okay. And you're running around the map, you're shooting dudes, like bosses spawn, numbers are popping off guys. And in the sort of like the alpha, they give you three modes. They give you the first mode, which is like a story level, where you're literally running from point A to point B, listening to Peter Dinklage talk about wizards. And then the second one is like it's called explore mode, where they put you into this giant area and there's these little quests all over for you to do. And I don't know how representative this is of the final game, but it was really neat to kind of just drop you into an area, and as you're exploring, you're picking up these small side quests, and they'll say like, oh, there's a bunch of enemies on the other ridge, go kill them all because they killed my friend Billy Joe or something.
You go, Billy Joe.
Yeah.
You didn't even see it coming.
No. Well, his name's Billy Joe, right? And, you know, you do it, and then you move on, and you go to another quest. And then I think the last one was, like, a dungeon, which progressed really neat. I was never able to finish it because it took so long. But you load the dungeon. It pairs you up with two or three other random people, and you go into the dungeon, and you progress. It's like a story-based, but it's like you have to do it as a group. So it's a very online Bungie shooter, and it blurs the line between single-player first-person shooter and sort of MMO elements. There's even like a hub world where you can go, and it turns into a third-person camera, and you're literally walking around talking to like shopkeepers and other quest givers and learning the lore of the universe.
So there's been a lot of kind of hype around Destiny. Everyone was super excited to see what Bungie was going to do after Halo. Everyone's just really, really, really excited for this game, and I know that it's alpha. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? Like, does it live up to it? Is it worth picking up? Is this something that I should be excited about? Because I mean, you know my feelings on the Halo series. I'm mm-hmm. not a huge fan. So Bungie making a game, I was kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. Don't crucify me, chat room, please.
Yeah. She likes Elder Scrolls, okay? Just give her a break. You can't like everything. Yeah.
But yeah, so I wasn't totally hyped for Bungie's game. I just kind of thought, you know, it's another Halo-esque game. Mm-hmm. But should I be excited? Is this something you think I'm going to enjoy and I should, you know, get on the bandwagon?
I wouldn't, like, strap yourself to the bandwagon, but I'd certainly like maybe
be prepared to jump off and pretend I was never there in the first place.
No, not that bad, but certainly like pay attention to the bandwagon, maybe follow it like around corners and stuff, and then like near the end there you could kind of hop on and see how she rolls. But I enjoyed it, and I love the way Bungie tells a story, and it feels like when you say Borderlands MMO, I don't think it describes it very well, because Borderlands has this very specific sense of humor that if you're not into it, you're not into that game. And I think
that, I did find that with Borderlands. Yeah. I found it really hit and miss in terms of the humor.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think that's what did it for me. It felt like Borderlands kind of occasionally it'd be, that's really funny, and then other times it's like, that's a little too childish for my liking, you know? And the guns were fine, but I didn't feel like the powers mattered much in Borderlands. Mm. So with Destiny, if they do the classes really well, I was only able to try the first one. And it's
because of alpha constraints or time constraints?
Time constraints. They give you three classes. You have the Hunter, which is a sort of rogue-based, more gunslinger. And then you have a Guardian, which is like a paladin, which I'm sure just wears more armor and uses bigger guns. And then you have the Warlock, which has more powers.
Which came from the moon?
No, that was the wizard. Oh. The Warlock comes from Mars. Come on. Warlocks are from Mars. Wizards are from the moon.
Okay.
So the Warlock is probably more like a Mass Effect type character, where you're using like psi abilities and stuff. So if that works out, I mean, certainly like the classes are very interesting. The game looks amazing. I'm sure Peter Dinklage, like the alpha, does not necessarily represent his awesomeness.
I'm totally gonna have to go Google that.
Do it. You'll listen to it and you'll be like, man,
I did where my Tyrion at? I did hear a lot of people say that they didn't even realize it was him, but I didn't know that it was because he was so bad.
Again,
I thought it was the opposite of that. I thought it was so good that his voice wasn't even recognizable, and I was like, wow.
Maybe if you go in kind of thinking, there's no setup, it's an alpha, so they don't really say who's talking. If, for all I know, I was thinking like, oh, that guy on the radio sounds like the VO guy didn't help him. Like, was that like Bob in testing or something? But it's the robot, so, you know, robots have like that sort of mannerism, so I guess it works. But no, I really dug it, and I'm gonna pre-order it so I can get in the beta and get some more time, so I'll have like more impressions in mid-July, and I'll try some different classes. But calling it a Borderlands MMO is kind of unfair. It's more like a shooter based in a Star Wars MMO. It's very planet-based. You're hopping from planet to planet. The story's super interesting. It's about a post-apocalyptic Earth where aliens have come and taken over, but they were fought off by this like guardian ship, and the guardian ship chased the aliens away, and now the aliens are back to finish the job, and there's like there's no cities left on Earth. So the story is very cool. It's very inspired by Star Wars in the way the characters look. I don't know. I'm glad Bungie's back, and I'm glad they're doing something besides Halo, because I think when you do something for a lot of years and you're not given a chance to sort of like reiterate or change, you kind of get stale. And I think we saw that with Reach, which was their like final last Halo effort. And the one concern I have with Destiny is there hasn't been a lot of talk about post-launch. So I feel like we could literally get Destiny as the first game being more of a, it could be one of two things. It could be the first game that says this is going to be a cool franchise, but this first game doesn't feel like enough. Or it could be a platform, in the sense that they're launching Destiny and they're going to continue to add content to it and treat it as if it is a MMO. So I don't know what they're doing with it. I don't know whether they treat it more like the MMO where they're giving like free patches and paid expansions, or if they're going to do, World of Warcraft does, where they have content patches before the next expansion.
I will say that WildStar seems to have stuff coming out really quickly. Elder Scrolls was another one. Like, they seem to really be pushing, and it's probably driving them to compete with WoW, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, WildStar already has, what's it called? The Strain, maybe?
Yeah. Polygon was making a big deal about it.
Yeah, they've already got a patch out with new content, and the game's only been out, 2 weeks? Something like that? And then, Elder Scrolls had their first, and I'm not at Endgame, but they did put out Endgame content, so I'm not 100% sure what it was, but it was within 2 or 3 weeks of launch, and it was this huge, come play, come try this with your friends, and I'm 99% sure it was a raid. And I was just like, holy crap, everybody is just pushing content, and I know it's a competitive edge thing, but,
yeah.
I mean, it's just so great for the consumer, because it's just not only are they pushing out patches to give everybody the kind of stuff that they want or fix the glitches or whatever, but they're actively working on bringing new content really regularly. So I'm interested to see what all these different companies are going to do to try to compete with these larger markets. So it's going to be, I think 2014, 2015 is going to be really, really interesting in the gaming world. So
2015,
I'm looking forward to it.
Year of the gaming.
Year of the gaming.
They say that every year. It's like, that's next year is going to be so rad. It's like, 2014, you got Destiny, you got Smash, you got, I said Destiny, right? Is there something else? What else is happening in 2014? WoW, I guess.
WoW, yeah, Warlords, yeah.
Blizzard kind of promised.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty crazy. So I think it'll be cool. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to give WildStar a try probably as soon as I get the doghouse fixed. I really, really, really want to get a weekend of gaming in before Nerdtacular, because there's this weekend and then next weekend and then we're in Utah. So it's going to be, I'm going to lose out on a lot of gaming time. Darn.
So fat. Here, I'll get some gaming time in for you.
Thank you. you're going to have to do a solo show.
all our usual guests are going to be in Salt Lake City. Maybe you exactly. just do a show in Salt Lake City and just I'm with everybody in Salt Lake City and Ryan's sitting at home just tapping on his keyboard playing video games for everybody.
You should check with our patrons, see if anybody wants to come on, like Josh.
Josh would probably, he's probably listening to this right now. He's not here live, but... He's probably like, oh my god. Yeah, no, that'd be good. Yeah. We had Josh on Zamp a couple days ago. He's a natural podcaster.
He is. So before we move on to our topic of the week, which we are going to do this week, guys, I promise you, we are not skipping this topic for the 18th week in a row. We are going to talk about boobies and Smite. I know, you're totally stoked.
We already did that, I thought.
I know, we talk about boobs and Smite a lot, but this is an actual, well-rounded discussion. Get it? Well-rounded?
Not lopsided or, balloonish.
But before we get to that, I wanted to mention that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double the RAM when you purchase your new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. They have some really, really cool, if you're a WoW fan, Horde and Alliance rigs, and they are officially licensed Blizzard products. So if you're interested, then now's a really good time to use that Gamers In code and grab yourself a rig. They're really, really well done. chat room is enjoying boobies.
It happens.
It does happen. I'm just throwing a link into the chat room right now. So there's a YouTube video that was sent in by Nick Carver, and it's from Game Theorists, and they're talking about whether Smite's goddesses are actually too sexy. And so the email that came from Nick says, "Hi, gamers and crew. I've been listening for a while, and I've actually started looking into Smite because of how much you guys talked about it. Anyway, listening to you guys talk about how some of the gods are dressed reminded me of a YouTube video by a channel called Game Theory. Mm-hmm. I thought you might be interested in watching it. I've included the link. Thanks for putting on an awesome podcast." So, Nick, thank you so much for your interest in the show and your interest in Smite and sending in this great video, because honestly, this guy freaking hilarious.
I subscribed after this that
video. I subscribed too. It was great. So basically, he goes into some details. There was probably back in beta for Smite. So before I started playing, because I started playing when they went live, mm-hmm. There was a lot of controversy about how, first of all, Smite, all of the heroes in Smite are actually based on gods of various religions and mythologies. And so Kali from Hinduism mm-hmm. is a playable character. So that kind of, you know, got some people's, what did the backs in a twist something? There's
hair,
a saying
hair
it
up.
Has to do with necks or backs or something twisting.
Their
anyway.
Back hair just went, you know.
So they were upset mm-hmm. about her being a playable character. And on top of that, she is quite scantily clad. And we've talked about this before, specifically with Neith, who is the Egyptian Weaver of Fate god. And so she is an
Neith.
Archer.
Hmm? Come on, we talked about this. Her name's not Neith.
Yes, we have crowned her Ribbitits because she has ribbons covering her, well, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, we had been kind of making fun of the over-sexualization of the women in Smite. And mm-hmm. so this YouTube video actually goes into a lot of detail about the historical accuracy of specifically Kali and Neith, and Aphrodite is the other one. And I think at least the first thing that really jumped out to me, and I think that in general, I completely agree with all the points put forward in the video. Mm-hmm. And I think that overall, probably Aphrodite is the most, call her historically accurate. In that she's supposed to be the goddess of, like, love and fertility and all the rest of it. And most of the depiction, well, pretty much all of the depictions of Aphrodite in, you know, classical art and all the rest of it, she's naked. She's always naked. She's the goddess of love. Of course mm-hmm. she's naked.
There be boobs.
And she's a heavier woman. Mm-hmm. And in Smite, she actually, I feel like, looks the most real, the most, I guess, relatable. She doesn't have, like, grapefruits on her shoulders, which sometimes some games are a little bit unrealistic or plastic-looking. But I do find that in Smite, you know, she's very well endowed, but mm-hmm. she looks like a womanly shape. She's not a, you know, teeny tiny little stick with grapefruits. So, I yeah. mean, I think that her model specifically is very accurate. You know, could argue the other two are a little bit on the skinny side with the plastic-looking boobs, but they're not historically inaccurate, which I found really, really interesting. Ryan, what did you think about watching this video?
I really dug this video, and I had actually...
panties in a twist!
Yes!
Thank you, chat room!
I was reacting to the chat room before, like, when I read that. It's like, that is so fitting! But no, I responded to Nick's email and basically said, like, man, after watching this, I kind of feel bad about us ripping on this game because yeah. It was
although
all in good
Ribbitits
fun.
Although Ribbitits is the best name of anything ever, so we're never getting rid of that.
No. It's here to stay. I mean, she's cool with it. Mm-hmm. But he emails, I didn't mean to make you feel bad, but like, really, like when you watch this video and you kind of have to remember that back in the day, this whole sexualized thing really wasn't that big a concern. That's not to say it didn't create hostile environments that we're trying to fix right now. But back in the day, like, depicting a woman's naked body or even a man's naked body on pottery, paintings, stuff like that, it was not like, ugh, throw a drape over that. I mean, I don't want to see that.
Although, to be fair, mm-hmm. I didn't live in that time.
No, we didn't.
You didn't live in that time. It could have been that, you know, we're kind of projecting, like, well, obviously, since there's paintings of naked ladies everywhere, it was okay and society had no problem with it. There's a possibility that maybe those are the paintings that survived because everybody had them shoved back in storage because they didn't want anyone to see it. And the stuff that got destroyed in wars and disasters and all the things that brought down civilizations destroyed all the clothed women. It's just all the porn that was shoved in the drawer.
Like, this must be art because it's the only thing that's left.
Yeah, this must be art. Exactly.
That's what Hitler was doing. He was just destroying all the art with clothes on. He's a big fan of porn.
500 years from now, when our civilization has collapsed, someone's going to find
everywhere.
Someone's stash of Playboy, and they're going to go, oh, art.
Yeah, because people still buy those magazines. They don't, you know, go online and get their Google image search on. I don't know. But, like, I felt like this video really sort of drilled down into the fact that, you know, it's not like he's arguing that the character should be running around naked. He's not arguing that. No. He's just arguing that, you know, depicting these goddesses and gods as, you know, peak physical conditions with certain assets, you know, it's okay, you know, because it's based on historical facts. Now, he even argued in, not even getting away from the boobage, we can talk about Callie specifically in the sense that
I found this really interesting because, again, I didn't play in beta, so I wasn't aware of what her powers used to be. I had tried to play her two or three times, a couple times in Assault, which is the mode which assigns you a random god, so you don't get to pick what god you play. Mm-hmm. And I specifically tried to play her before that when we played Arena, and I didn't like her. She wasn't fun. She wasn't interesting. There was nothing that really stood out. So you can continue.
No.
Your train of thought there, but
I was just going to say that when his points about Kali were two things they had wrong, they were upset about was the over-sexualization, because she literally was basically Ribbitit's 0.5, where she had the ribbons.
Sideways instead of vertical.
Yeah. Yeah,
horizontal instead of vertical.
It was just, you know, it looked equally uncomfortable. We'll go with that.
Yes.
Yeah. But also her moves were very violent and blood-based, sort of like a vampire, because that's what Nikki actually goes right into the historical sort of
lore,
I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
I don't want to say myth because I don't want to, like, because it's not.
Don't want to offend everyone.
Don't want to say that. Lore of Kali in the sense.
Or story.
That,
yeah, the original story of.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It was very bloody, very kind of gross, and they based her moveset off of that, and, you know, because of the sort of feedback they got, they caved, and in my mind and in the game theorist's mind, ruined the character, like made
completely.
Her less of a goddess and more like turned her from what was a historical depiction of Kali into basically just a four-armed blue chick with a couple swords.
Yeah,
she's exactly. Not that interesting to play.
Mm-hmm. She's not that interesting to play. Her powers don't really stand out. They're really hard to kind of remember what it is that each power does because they're just so nondescript. Like, I think one of her powers is like an AoE and it's called Incense. And it's just like, okay, you know, like it's really not that interesting versus like, I mean, right off the top of my head, like Zeus has chain lightning and then like thunderstorm and you can basically like hit a whole bunch of guys with your chain lightning and then thunderstorm and anyone who has a lightning buff on them gets zapped. Mm-hmm. And it's like super powerful and you feel like, yes, I am Zeus, god of all gods. Yeah. And it's really, really cool. And then you get Kali, who used to be so cool. Like, I've seen shots now of, cause I went and looked up some YouTube videos from the beta after watching this video. And like, it was so cool. Like, all the stuff that she was doing, it was so visceral. And she really seemed to be, like, the goddess of destruction and death. And she was hardcore. And now she's just, like, bleh.
Like, just a generic.
Generic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they go into a bit of detail about Neith and how she's an Egyptian goddess and how the developers took, you know, Egyptian gods were worshipped a very long time ago, so the knowledge we have today is probably not necessarily 100% fact. So they had to kind of like not only take the facts, but also take the theories and turn them into this character based on Egyptian lore. And it's just really cool. And speaking on the whole platform of the game theorists YouTube videos, they're all like this. Mm-hmm. They're all super well thought out. They're all super funny. And yeah, there's another good one about Assassin's Creed Falls and how, like, would it be possible? But then the more he dives into the game, the more he realizes that the physics in the game are broken. So, like, and that, like, gravity you accelerate at a different rate in all the different Assassin's Creed games. It's really cool. Definitely check out
the channel. I saw one on there that I'm really looking forward to watching, and that was, is Link actually dead in Majora's Mask? And I was like,
ooh. Yeah. So,
I mean, you guys should all go check it out. It's Game Theorists. Mm-hmm. Put the link in the chat room. The link will be in our show notes. You guys should go watch the Smite video if you're into Smite. If you're not into Smite, I mean, it also gives you a really good, not just overview of the specific issue with the specific gods, but there's also gameplay footage, and you can kind of get a feel for what Smite is as a game and how it's a little bit different than other MOBAs. So go check it out. Go subscribe. He, like we said, is really funny and really articulate. So yeah, go check it out. So that, I think, is that's the end of our do you have anything else you want to say about sexy, sexy Smite girls?
You know, not really. And the other thing too is that with these Smite characters, they're all fun to play, whether it's an Aphrodite or a Neith type character or a Hercules or Zeus character. I mean, they don't just focus on the skin level of these characters. They go full deep into like the lore and the moves and stuff, and it's super fun. Definitely play Assault, because it allows you to try every character free of charge.
Yes, Assault really cool. Assault is probably my favorite mode now. At first I was kind of like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this.
I remember that.
Because it does, yeah, it matches you up with a random god. It doesn't do any kind of team composition or anything else. It's like everyone just gets a random god and you all go play, and it's like 5-on-5 in one lane. There's no jungle. It's just full on push, push, push. So It's a little bit intimidating, but it's also used as a warm up a lot for a lot of people. Nobody takes it too seriously, but it's a lot of fun. Definitely go play Assault. So just wanted to remind everybody that you can actually show off your TGI pride by heading over to /loot.com. That's SLASH loot.com. Grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They also have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, as well as your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to /loot.com and show off some of that podcast pride. We have quite a lot of listener feedback this week, which is great to see. We got some recommendations for good Star Wars games, which I'm still not sold that these exist. So Ryan, do you want to take away a couple of these?
Night Vale wrote in first in response to our E3 episode, saying that the last good Star Wars game was the first Knights of the Old Republic in 2003, which is a BioWare title, and was very well received. And as soon as we talked about this, I kind of was like, oh, but wait, this and this is actually pretty good, but Knights of the Old Republic's a pretty solid Star Wars title, for sure.
I have heard that Knights of the Old Republic is something that's worth playing, and it's probably going to go on sale on the Steam sale, so we should all keep an eye out for that. Maybe the Gamers In account will actually be paying attention to things, and we'll tweet it out when it goes on sale.
We'll call it, the last good Star Wars game just went on sale for $2, because it came out 11 years ago.
Oh, man.
What else we got?
So, yeah, Iceworm wrote in and said, Republic Commando, Battlefront, probably 1 and 2, not 1/2. I was like, Battlefront 1/2.
That doesn't sound like a good game. Sounds like half a game.
Sounds like the beta of Battlefront. he says he also has a soft spot for Lego games. And Force Unleashed. So, I've heard of Force Unleashed, but never played it. What about you?
I played the first one. And it's actually one of the better, like, character actor lightsaber games. And it's sort of set in between the prequels and the original trilogy. And it's decent. It was a lot of fun. And I think it came out on the next-gen systems, but I could be wrong. Or not, I guess it wouldn't be next-gen, but the PS3, Xbox. And it was, you played a Starkiller, which was a Darth Vader apprentice. So you were evil.
I do like being evil.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was one of the better Star Wars games.
That sounded really kind
of
creepy, didn't it?
I'm glad I'm not in Halifax right now. That's all I can say. But Republic Commando's neat. It was like a Metroid Prime / squad shooter game based in the Star Wars universe. So it had some appeal. Never played the Battlefront or Lego games. I've never really been able to get into the Lego games.
Like any Lego games or specifically the Lego Star Wars games?
Any of them. I don't know what it is.
Oh, man. The Lego games are so good.
I'm heartless, although,
that
maybe.
Being said, I think the ones that I've actually played through the most are the Harry Potter ones.
Mm.
I did also play Lego Lord of the Rings, which is pretty fantastic. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have Lego.
I like their sense of humor.
Yeah. Like, I have Lord of the Rings. I can't remember why I haven't played it yet, but... Yeah, I don't know. Like, the Marvel one looked cool, but I never really got into it. I don't know. I'm just not a big Lego person, I guess. I'm a big physical Lego person, but not a Lego video game person.
Important distinction. Mm-hmm. We also got a comment on Facebook about the, I guess, E3 episode?
Yeah, another E3 one, yeah.
Oh, right. Was this the Nintendo thingy?
Yeah, the Amiibos.
Amiibo, ugh. Stupid double eye. Like, who thinks that that's a good idea? Nintendo, I am going to smack you around a little. So
they'd be used to it by now, I think.
Yeah, really. So what in for our E3 episode, we were talking about those little the figurines, mm-hmm. right? So Michael wrote in to just let us know that one character only working for one game is actually incorrect, which was the assumption that Ryan and I were making, or probably more me. I mean,
I didn't know, so we'll blame both of us. It's fine.
apparently, they can work in up to 5 different games, which includes Mario Kart 8, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Actually, Treasure Toad, Tractor Toad would be rad. Like, just, like, my name's Toad, and he's got a little tumbleweed, or one of those weeds hanging out of his mouth, and he's just like, I'm going to take my tractor. Wheat? What did I say?
I don't know.
Wheat. It's a long wheat. Trigger.
Mario Party 8 is another one on the list, and Yoshi's Woolly World, which I keep calling it like Yoshi's Yarn, and then it's like, no, wait, that was Kirby with the yarn. Yoshi's got the wool, because that makes sense.
It's different, right? It's not at all.
I just want the alliteration.
Thing.
Yoshi's Yarn is so much better.
Yeah. Nintendo, what are you thinking? Like, no, but this is exciting news because we had just it was easy to assume that
they were trying to gouge us for every penny that we had.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo could use every penny that we have. They're certainly not getting it now, but it'd be easy to assume that Nintendo would be like, nope, you buy the Smash characters for Smash, you buy the Mario Kart characters for Mario Kart. But really what they're trying to do is and I read an article, there's a great article on Polygon about the Amiibos and getting more details from Reggie. And it goes into details about how it's not about creating, like, flooding the market with these things. It's about creating a platform that exists alongside these other titles. So when I buy a Mario figurine with my Smash game, I can use that data and store Mario Kart on it. I can store Mario Party 10. I can store it on wherever it makes sense. Like, it's not going to be a giant, it's not going to be basically a USB drive because you can't use it in every game, only where it makes sense. But that being said, The point I had was it'd still be really cool to be able to go out and have two different Yoshi, in theory, two different Yoshi amiibos, one based on the look in Smash, and then one based on his look in Yoshi's Woolly World. And I think...
I was totally going to correct you. I was going to be like, no, it's Yoshi's Yarn.
but you know, that would be...
I'll learn it eventually, I promise.
You'll get it. Well, I don't think any of us will be playing it, but it kind of looks a little too kiddie for me, but... I think that's where you can kind of have multiple character amiibos. You know, you can both work on all Yoshi titles, but have different looks. So mm-hmm. not only are they playing up to the people who just want a couple toys to play with their games, they're also playing to the people who are collectors. Like, I don't know, whoever's a Yoshi fan out there. I know there's got to be some Yoshi fans out there. Yoshi's pretty cool, don't get me wrong.
Yoshi is cool.
But he's no Link. You know, like, I'll totally buy, like... an adult Link, a Toon Link, a young Link.
A Shadow Link.
Shadow Link. The possibilities are endless. And Nintendo has just such an amazing chest of characters that they can go into. So
monetize?
Yes, and monetize. So I think it's interesting. If they can do best of both worlds, then they're not only... they're just making everybody happy and they're not pissing anybody off.
That's very hard to do.
If anybody can do it, I don't think anybody can do it.
No. So we just want to take a quick second here and thank our patron of the week. That is Hard Boiled Greg, which, interesting.
That's what Patreon told me, man. I don't know.
Oh, that's a great name. So if you would like to be just like Hard-Boiled Greg, you can jump over to patreon.com/thegamersin and throw us a donation. We would really appreciate it. Everyone will get a thank you on Gamers In every week. We thank a patron. Mm-hmm. And then if you'd like to join us on Gamers In Game Night, then our $5 and above patrons get first invites to play with us on stream on Thursday nights. So check it out. And again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. If you'd like to visit us, oh my God, I can't even talk tonight. I had an interview today, guys. I've been talking all day. It's pretty ridiculous. So, okay. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and tell us what you think about boobies and smite and have a well-rounded conversation, you can do so by emailing info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.
No booby talk next week.
We promise. We don't promise.
No, we never promise.